Okay, welcome to Shir and Targum in Parshas Vayera. In the beginning of the Parsha, so we know that Avraham Avinu was sitting out after his Bris Milah. Three people appear. Avraham Avinu runs to them. Then we find in Perek Yudches Pasuk Gimel the following Pasuk. I'll just read the Pasuk in its entirety. Vayomar, Avraham Avinu said, Adonai im namat sasi chen beinecha al nosavur me'alavdecha. If I have found favor in your eyes, please don't go away. Please don't pass from before your servant. The question of the pasuk is, whom is Avraham Avinu addressing? It says, you know, the word alef dalet nun yud. So, who is the intended recipient of that? Who's he addressing when he says that? So, we know that Rashi, reflecting Chazal, brings two different ways to explain the Pasuk and Mimelo, the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Rashi starts off by saying, L'gadol Shibohem Omar. Right? Rashi, according to the first Pshat in Rashi, Avraham Avinu is addressing the three Malachim, specifically the senior among the three Malachim. V'la'gadol Omar, and to the senior individual, he said, Al no sa'avor, please don't go away. Im namot sasi chen beinecho, if I found favor in your eyes, right, Rashi has to point out that he's only addressing the senior one of the three Malachim, because the usage of Avraham Avinu is in the singular. But if you, meaning not just you, but all three of you, have found favor in my eyes, please don't go away. I'd love to entertain you as my guests. That's one pshat in Rashi. What Rashi brings is the first pshat. Uvaloshen zehuchol, says Rashi, according to that, the word aleph dalet nun yud means my masters, referring to the three malachim. It's not a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dover Acher, another interpretation, Kodeshu. This word, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is actually a reference to Hashem. It's one of God's names. V'hoya Omer LaKodesh Baruch, when Avraham Avinu is saying to Hashem, Lahamtim Lod Shiyarutz V'yachnis HaSa'archim. He's addressing HaKodesh Baruch Hu. After all, the parasha opened up with Hashem revealing himself to Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you mind if I put you on hold for a minute? Al no savor me'alavdecha, don't go away, right? I just have to take care of these guests, and I'll come back and we can resume the conversation that we were having. How does the Targum hold in terms of this issue? So on the surface, the Targum clearly sides with the second pshat in Rashi, that understands that Avraham Avinu is addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you look in Targum Unkelos, on that pasuk, Ve'omar Hashem, im ka'an ashkachis rachamin be'enach, lo cha'an ti'ibar me'al avdoch. Right, what's relevant for us right now is the second word in the Targum Unkelos translation, Ve'omar Hashem, Yudke Vavke, uses Hashem's name. Clearly, according to the Targum Unkelos' interpretation, the reference over here is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't leave, right? We're in the middle of a conversation, but please don't leave. I want to just attend to these Archim, and then we'll come back. It's interesting that Rashi seemingly prefers the Pshat that it's not referring to Hashem. In other words, if we can read into this, Rashi first gives the interpretation that he's referring to the Malachim, and only afterwards brings as a Dover Acher, as a different second interpretation, that he's referring to Hashem. It gives the impression that according to Rashi, the more simple explanation is that he's referring to the Malachim. Clearly the Unkelos understands that the more simple, the Pshat explanation, is that he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he's bothered by what we mentioned before. If it's referring to the Malachim, why is it using the singular as opposed to the plural? Rashi has to answer, and it is an answer, that he's addressing the Gadol Shebohem, the senior Malach. Okay, but, you know, maybe the Targum Unkelos holds that's not such a good interpretation, right? If he's addressing the Malachim, he should address all three of them. How do you know which one is the Gadol? What, he has a sign that says, you know, senior Malach, you know? Okay, could be. What's that? Okay, right, could be, he's in the middle, right? Again, if they were standing, you know, 1, 2, 3, like that, wider beard, longer kapata, you know, whatever, you know, okay, however he figured out who the Gadol Shebohem was. What's, Right, okay, yeah, maybe, okay, could be, fine. However, it may not be as simple as just saying that the Targum Onkelos adapts the pshat that the Pasuk is referring to Hashem as opposed to the Malachim. Why is that? So if you contrast Onkelos with the Yonason Ben Uziel, you see something subtle but very interesting. The Yonason Ben Uziel on this Pasuk translates it, Ve'omar, Avram Avinu said, Beba'u birachamin min kadamach Hashem, I ask from before you, Hashem, again, clearly agreeing with the Targum Onkelos, that Avraham Avinu is addressing Hashem, not the Malachim, in kidun ashkachis chino kumach, if I have found favor before you. Now, the literal pasuk says, "Imnamatzasi chen be'enecha." If I have found favor in your eyes, the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel, instead of referring to your eyes, changes it to min kadamach, from before you. And based on what we've learned about the Targum Onkelos, and to an extent the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel as well, we can understand why the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel would change the word be'enecha, in your eyes, to min kadamach, before you. In your eyes, when addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, implies that Hashem has eyes. We know that the Targumim bend over backwards to eliminate any phrases that imply a human form to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's an idea that we've seen several times already in the Targumim. So be'enecha, which again, clearly we understand means something metaphoric. Hashem doesn't have eyes in the literal sense of the term. But if I found favor in your eyes, becomes if I found favor before you in the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel. Contrast that with the Targum Onkelos. And the Targum Onkelos, remember, the Rambam and Maariv Avuchim praised for being the epitome of changing the translation or paraphrasing the translation in order to eliminate any references to Hashem having a body or anything human-like. Says the Targum Onkelos, Im ka'an ashkachis rachamin be'enoch. If I have found favor in your eyes. So wait a minute. Now, by the way, there are different versions of the Targum Onkelos, but supposedly the Sfarim Meduyakim, you know, the more authentic versions of the Targum Onkelos have the word be'enoch, right? And we'll see that that's going to be significant. There are versions of the Targum Onkelos that change it to kadamach, but it seems apparently as if that was done later on because of this kasha that we're going to have. But it seems like, apparently, if you go back to the earlier versions, the earliest versions we have of the manuscripts of the Targum Onkelos, the word is actually be'enoch. Be'enoch, of course, is the literal translation of in your eyes. And here, we find ourselves a little bit puzzled, assuming that this is the correct version of Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos, on the one hand, understands that the Pasuk is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to the Malachim. So if Targum Onkelos was going to be consistent, he should have then paraphrased the word be'enecha and made it into before you, kadamach. Instead, he retains it as be'enach, the literal translation of in your eyes, which seems inappropriate if we're talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't seem consistent with what the Targum Onkelos does in other cases. So, how do you understand this? In the Oz V'Hadar, Mikros Gedolos, he brings from the commentary that's known as the Paschegen. The Paschegen was a manuscript that was actually discovered by Reb Nosson Adler, whom we mentioned earlier, the author of the Nesina Lahir, the chief rabbi of the British Empire in the mid-1800s, who wrote a commentary called Nesina Lahir on Targum Onkelos. And he says that after quite a bit of work, he discovered this very, very old commentary on the Targum Onkelos, which was labeled Paschegen, and he printed it in his sefer Nesina Lahir. We don't know who the author is of this Paschegen, but the Paschegen suggests that the Targum Onkelos, to an extent, is trying to sit on the fence in terms of his translation of the Pasuk. In other words, the Pasuk is both a reference to Hashem as well as a reference to the Malachim. right? He starts off the pasuk, speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, Omar Hashem. He then turns back to the Malachim, and he says, Imna Matzasi Chein Be'einecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, and this is translated as if it's speaking to the Malachim. And then the last part of the pasuk, Al Na Savor Me'al Avdecha, please don't leave, is simultaneously addressed to the Ribbono Shel Olam as well as to the Malachim themselves. It means different things to both of them. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al No Savor Me'al Avdecha means, please, we were in the middle of having this prophetic encounter. Please wait till I finish with the Malachim and then we can resume where we left off. And to the Malachim it means, please, I have some food, don't go away, I'm ready to feed you. So he's having two conversations literally at the same time. In other words, and not only that, he's able to have two conversations with the same words with two different recipients. In other words, Adokai is Hashem. He turns to the Malachim, Imna Matzos Lichein Beinecha, and then Al No Savor Me'alavdecha is something which means something to both the Malachim and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and is recited at the same time. The very same words just mean different things when they're directed at different, not people, but different recipients of those words. And in this way, says the Pascheg, and the Targum Onkelos is essentially, as it were, paskening like both Lashonos and Rashi. Now, both interpretations in Rashi are correct. It's not a contradiction to say that Avraham Avinu was simultaneously carrying on a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam and at the Malachim at the very, very same time. Right. No, so in other words, what Unkelus is doing is he's not really agreeing entirely with either Pshat and Rashi. He's merging the Pshatim and Rashi. He's putting them together. Right. In terms of the word, it's Kodesh. Right. So another, and that is a nafka mina in terms of practical, practical things. Right. So apparently, what you see over here, this Targum Unkelus, according to the Pascheg'en, is that Unkelus has this concept of Shivim Panim LaTorah in a very, very visceral kind of sense. Not just, well, you could interpret it this way, you could interpret it that way. But Avraham Avinu is carrying on two conversations at the same time. And again, Targum Onkelos is into Pshat. He understands that this is the Pshat. If the Pshat itself is so ambiguous, the ambiguity of the Pshat means that both Pshatim are really true simultaneously in a fascinating kind of way. The fact that the Pascheg'en, by the way, is such an early commentary on the Targum Onkelos and is discussing this, I think, is one of the proofs that the version in Onkelos, Enoch, is the more correct one. At some point, somebody noticed Enoch and said, no, that's a mistake. Targum Onkelos never translated Enoch. He would always translate it Kadamach. But in trying to make the Targum Onkelos even more authentic, the Targum Onkelos itself, the person, whoever made that change, may have inadvertently destroyed this pshat, in the Targum Onkelos, that he's trying to say that Avraham Avinu was saying both things at the same time, to two different entities. The Rambam Mar Nevuchim writes that the gadlus of the Avos was that they were able to carry on conversations with regular people, talking about regular, ordinary things, and yet in their minds they were able to cling to the Ribbono Shel Olam and think the most lofty thoughts, even while they were talking about, cows and investments and whatnot. Now, that was the greatness of the Avos, that they could do those two things simultaneously. That's the Rambam writes in Mar Nevuchim. According to the Targum Onkelos, right here on the spot, you have an actual example in the Psukim themselves of Avraham Avinu being able to have that multi-leveled conversation, both with the Ribbono Shel Olam as well as with regular people, at what he thinks are regular people, at least, at the same time. Right. I don't know, because you still have the inference from the pasuk as follows. What does he say to Hashem? Al no savor me'al avdecha, meaning, we'll come back, we'll have a more in-depth conversation, but I'm just putting the Ribono Shel Olam on hold. But in other words, that phrase, al no savor me'al avdecha, simultaneously means something to Hashem, as well as meaning something to the Malachim. Right? So in other words, he is putting Hashem on hold, but it's just in this very, very narrow instance, he's able to carry on the conversation at the same time. Another example in this parsha where Targum Onkelos seems to hedge his bets, so to speak. In other words, takes a pasuk which lends itself to very different interpretations. Here, seemingly contradictory interpretations. What we're about to say, what we just saw, you know, the Targum Onkelos reconciles two different interpretations and basically melds them together. What we're about to see are two, I think, contradictory interpretations, which, to the best of my understanding, I don't think are subject to being resolved, because it's just, it's like a, you know, it's either this or that, you know, we'll see in just a second. But the Targum Onkelos, you know, kind of also tries to walk between the raindrops, you know, and not take a side with regard to this issue. So the Malachim come, and they inquire after Sarah, and in Perek Yudches Pasuk Yud, Vayomer, the chief Malach, he said, Shov Oshuv Eilecha Ko'es Chaya V'hinei Vein L'Sarah Ishtecha. I will return to you, Ko'es Chaya, and your wife Sarah will have a boy. What's Ko'es Chaya? What is that? You know, living time. I will return to you in living time. Right? So Rashi writes, Ko'es Hazos L'shana Haba. It means this time next year. Right? So U'Pesach Hoyo. Right, says Rashi, the Malachim came to visit on Pesach. Well, Pesach Haba Nolad Yitzchak, and the following Pesach, Yitzchak was born. The Yonasan ben Uziel translates similarly. The Omar Chad Minahon, one of them said, right, Mesov Esov Lebasach, I'm going to return to you, L'shata de Osya. The following year, va'atun kayomin, and you'll be alive. Va'habar l'sara intesach, and your wife Sarah is going to have a baby boy. Right? Again, similar, basically identical to Rashi over here. The Targum Onkelos translates this as follows: Va'amar meisav esav levasach, I will return to you. Ki'idon da'atun kayomin. I will return to you at a time that you are alive. In other words, I will come back to you in your lifetimes. This is not going to be something that's going to be off in the distance. V'havar l'sara itisach. And your wife Sarah will have a baby boy. What's missing from the Targum Onkelos is any mention of the idea that it's going to be exactly a year from now. And I'm going to come back to you at some time where you're going to be alive, and Sarah is going to have a boy, but there's no reference to the idea that it's going to be exactly a year from now. And later on as well, in Pasuk Yudalud, where we find the expression, Lamoed Oshuv Eilecha Ko'es Chaya, Ulasarah Bein, I will return to you again, Ko'es Chaya, Lamoed, at the time. So here too, even though the word Lamoed could also be interpreted as, you know, the same time next year, the Targum Onkelos simply translates it as Lizman, you know, at a time, Esov Levasach Ke'idon Katun Kayomim. I'm going to come back to you at a time that everyone is still alive. Very, very, you know, non-committal in terms of when the time is exactly. So, it could be that the Targum Onkelos is just translating very, very literally, but at the same time, it's possible that the Targum Onkelos is deliberately trying to avoid a machlokus in Midrash. So, Rashi, over here, where he says that it was Pesach, and the Malachim came and said that Sarah is going to give birth exactly a year from now, you know, the following Pesach, Rashi here is reflecting the position of the Seder Olam, and probably because most of us learn this story first through Rashi on Chumash, that's what we're accustomed to thinking, you know, that the Malachim came exactly a year before Sarah gave birth to Yitzchak. Nonetheless, if one takes a look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, just about the close to today's Daf Yomi, they'll get to it a little bit later in the week, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah understands that the Malachim came to Avram and Sarah around Sukkot time, and they predicted that by Pesach of that coming year, Yitzchak would be born. In other words, Yitzchak was born a little bit prematurely, right? But the prediction that's being described over here took place around Sukkot time, and it's really only, you know, about half a year in the future that Yitzchak is going to be born. This fits in with other Midrashim as well. The Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer talks about how the Bris Milah of Avraham Avinu took place on Yom Kippur, which again, if you're going to work with that, so then this event is taking place shortly after Yom Kippur, you know, right around Sukkot time. And there doesn't really seem to be a way to reconcile those two positions. Tosfos, both in Rosh Hashanah as well as the Das Academy Valley on Tosfos over here in the Chumash, both point out that Rashi on Chumash, working with the Seder Olam and the Breishis Rabbah, really doesn't seem to fit in with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And again, as far as I know, there isn't really an obvious way to reconcile those two interpretations. Either they came around Pesach time or they came around Sukkot time, but it's really hard to say they came around Sukkot time and Pesach time simultaneously. You know, Sukkot and Pesach tend not to fall out together. I mean, it would be very difficult if you think about it, you know, eating all that matzah out in the sukkah. So the Targum Onkelos seems to deliberately avoid talking about when this prediction is for. Now, there's no mention of anything that Rashi brings up or the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel brings up of Lashana Acheres, next year, this time, that this is going to come to pass. Here, too, the Targum Onkelos, again, clearly there are two different opinions in Chazal about how to read the story, what the chronology of the story is. And the Targum Onkelos doesn't want to take sides. You know, he's translating the pasuk in such a way that it leaves it open, in both directions. So that as well possibly is another example of where, you know, the first example we quoted tonight is the Targum Onkelos merging to pshatim. Here he's in a sense walking between the two pshatim. Just one last thing which we'll talk about for tonight. So we know that there's a lot of laughter going on at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, on the beginning of Parshas Vayera, concerning the prediction of the birth of Yitzchak. Right? We find that Avraham Avinu laughs at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, and that's one reason why he's told that the boy who's going to be born to him in Sarah is going to be called Yitzchak. Here too, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba, Sarah laughed inside of her heart, she laughed internally. We find that the Ribbono Shel Olam criticizes Sarah for having laughed, but yet there's no criticism of Avraham Avinu for having laughed at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. So how do you reconcile those two things? How do you understand them? So the Targum right away provides us with an answer to that question. In the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, when it describes how Avraham Avinu falls on his face and he laughs, the translation for Vayitzchak is V'chadi, he rejoiced. Whereas if you look over here in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba, V'chayeches Sarah B'me'aha. Right, V'chayeches has the implication of laughing sort of cynically, or with a little bit of a lack of belief, again, on her level, whatever that means. The Yonasan ben Uziel makes this even clearer in our pasuk in Yabez, Usamahas Sarah Beliba. Sarah, in her heart, was astonished and, you know, disbelieving that that she would have a boy at such an advanced age. So the very word of tzchok, of vayitzchok, vatitzchok, can be translated differently based on the context, and that gives us all of our understanding that we need to know in terms of why Avraham Avinu is not called out on his reaction and Sarah is. We should point out that when Yitzchok is actually born, a little bit later in the parasha, so Sarah Imenu took to heart whatever words the Ribbono Shel Olam conveyed to her. In Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Vatomer Sarah, Tzchok Asa Li Elokim, Kol HaShomea Yitzchak Li. Sarah said, Hashem has made for me laughter. Anyone who hears this will laugh for me, or to me, or something along those lines. Right? So here too, in a vacuum, one could understand that this is a big joke. Wow, who would have thought? You know, anyone's going to laugh cynically and disbelievingly. But here, the Unculus translates this in a totally different way. V'amara Sarah, Sarah said, Chedva, Avad li Hashem. Hashem has made something joyous for me. Kol Shama Yechti li. Anyone who hears about the birth of Yitzchok is going to be joyous on my behalf. In other words, ultimately, the tzchok of Sarah Imenu becomes synonymous with the tzchok of Avraham Avinu. They're both chedva, they're both happiness, joy, v'chadi. You know, that momentary lapse that Sarah has where her laughter is v'chayeches, you know, that she's laughing somewhat in disbelief, that's just a little bit of a blip on the screen, so to speak, and is quickly washed away, you know, with the great tzidkus, the great righteousness that Sarah displays.